top with Giordano. Two on one. Michael Backlund shoots. Scores!
Penning. Great move. Here is Penning. Shot. Scores!
Comes free to Shane. Locked by Lucic. Ran him over.
And he wins it back to Foley. Scores!
No way! Oh, my! No way!
Kurt Fiddler backhand.
Oh, my!
It is. Now we're waiting.
Slides it in front, scores! Jason
Chimura! Checked in by Matthews, here it is, scores!
5 minutes into overtime, in game five, and McDavid scores! Game winner, series winner, for Connor McDavid!
I have been a murder man for all my life, and I'll be a murder man.
Our NHL news and notes segment is brought to you by Sheena Boychuk. Yes, you heard that last name right. That's Sheena Boychuk. As a licensed realtor, Sheena has you covered to buy and sell your home in this hot market. She also offers home consulting services to help you upgrade your living space. Check her website out at SheenaBoychuk.com and tell her the Two Mods Podcast sent you. Realty by Design, your design approach to real estate.
If it's done right the first time, you don't have to redo it. If you get Pete's Concrete to pour your driveway, you don't need a repeat. When your patio is a PDO, you don't need a repeat. When Pete's Concrete fixes your sidewalk, all it takes is once. You don't need a repeat. And if your basement leaks, a Pete's Repair helps avoid a repeat. Get it done right the first time with the colors and textures you want so you don't have to redo it. For concrete, you can choose Pete's or repeats. Pete's Concrete.
Welcome back to the 2 months podcast presented by Pete's Concrete. I'm your host, Joshua Marshall. Tonight we have just one special guest. He has been with us several times on the podcast. We will do our roundtable later this week, but we have Sonny Sakan from the Brick Tournament and Free Play for Kids joining us very shortly here on the 2 months podcast. So we will get to that interview with Sonny real quick. A busy and fun week here at the 2 months podcast. We took some time off, and we had about 34 days off, and then did some interviews over the process of the last few weeks, and then just got back from Kitimat where I work. So I took 2 weeks off there of doing the podcast and just focused on work. Busy time as we are getting ready to ramp up that project, and that'll be a lot of fun as it gets going there. But yeah, we're just gearing back up. So Sonny will be joining us today. We have Chris Cuthbert from Hockey Night Canada and Rogers Sportsnet joining us this week as well, with Mike Fuda. And then we'll finish up the week with our roundtable with Clay Vanham and Brody McIntyre. So it'll be lots of great NHL stuff to cover with them. So there's a busy season as the hockey season is gearing up, and the race for the Stanley Cup playoffs is a lot of fun. So a lot is happening there, and you know, everything's growing good. Women's hockey right now is growing as we speak, so a lot of good things to be focused on. And we'll have a good interview with Sonny here. He's got some good data on the growth of hockey in some other places, and where that is and where the support could be needed, and where places are being supported. And then, yeah, a lot of good news. Some CHL stuff we'll cover with him. And he's seen some great kids come through that Brick Tournament and transition over to the National Hockey League. So a lot of fun there. But yeah, Pete's Concrete. So let's get into that. That's our title sponsor. They are back for a fifth summer with us. So they're gearing up, ready to go. I think they just got going probably about 9 days ago here. That's my uncle's company here in Edmonton and the surrounding area. So give Pete's Concrete a call. They'll take care of you. Just tell them the 2 months podcast sent you. You guys can get the 2 months podcast pricing. And get some, you guys need a driveway done, some sidewalks, some patios, any of that kind of stuff, some retaining walls. Even if you have some leaks in your basement, they'll fix all that waterproofing stuff up. So Pete's Concrete, check them out at their website and give them a call. They are standard by their name and been around for 30 plus years. So they got an A plus rating throughout the province of Alberta. And they've also done some work in BC, but Pete's Concrete will take care of your needs out here in Alberta. So thanks to Pete and his crew for joining us again here at the Two Months Podcast. And talked about it before, BioSteel's back with us too. So you guys can check them out. We have a promo code up with them. So that's the Two Months Podcast B1. That's the Two Months Podcast B1, all capitals. And they'll get you 20% off your orders at BioSteel.ca. So check them out. And Sheena Boychuk Real Estate will be still sponsoring our NHL News and Notes segment. And then, we got Shatified Salon and Barbershop for Oilers Report. We got Marlou Barbershop in Calgary for a Flames Report. So a lot of great there. And check out our buddy Gilbert Brulé's Airbnb in Roberts Creek, British Columbia, the Hideaway Creek. You can check them out on Instagram. Great place to go get a some R&R and some relaxing. You and your girlfriend, or you and your wife, or just some friends want to do a getaway. It's a beautiful spot for sure. So check them out. Thanks to them for sponsoring us here at the Two Mutts Podcast. Going pretty good. We're raring up. The playoffs will be a lot of fun. The race to getting in is going to be a lot of fun too. So a lot of great things to look forward to. And again, I'd like to, say thanks to the hockey community, our fans, my family, and for that, great support they've given me over these last few weeks here. It's been a challenging time, and then obviously trying to stick to my faith and believing in God and loving Jesus. And I know we do a little bit of that here on the pod. And so appreciate everyone kind of reaching out and, posted something the other day on Facebook and Instagram. And when you read it, I guess maybe it looks like people are kind of worried that I was in the process of, it's even tough to say this because this is how my dad passed away. But my father 25 years ago, took his own life. So obviously that is very near and dear and sensitive to my heart. And I posted something and a lot of people kind of took it in a way that I was in the process of doing that. And I've had some days before, not going to lie, those days have come, but I'm getting some good healing and getting some good help. I'm okay to talk about kind of my struggles and whatnot and pull the curtain a little bit back as best you can. Definitely not a perfect person. I've made some mistakes in my life and some things that I wish I could go back and fix, but things that have happened that have made me learn through my process. But you put God first in everything you do. The one thing I have a tough time of being a Christian, it's tough saying it, I'll pull the curtain back on this, is I think there's some people out there that that don't represent what God or Jesus would want. And I know that's tough to say. I could take some flack for this, but I've witnessed it firsthand in my life, especially recently. There is a church here in Edmonton, the House Church, not a good church to go to. Group of people, not a good group of people to deal with. I'll just be honest, my dealings with them were awful. So I would never recommend people to go to that church. And that's just my opinion, that those are my beliefs and my beliefs only. I did find a good place other than that. And that's the Summit in Edmonton. And that's a good church to go to. That place has a lot of people that believe in the right process, believe in God, believe in Jesus. They're not out to hurt people. They're not there to throw stones at people. They're there to help you and get you in the right direction. And that's a church I would go to and recommend people to go to. And I've had people go there. There's a lot of great people involved in that church that other church, not the greatest place you want to go to. And that's, again, honest, my honest opinion, my experience firsthand, awful. Not a good place. And, you know, you look forward to helping and hoping that they can find their way in this process, but usually the Holy Spirit takes care of stuff like that for them. And, it is what it is, and they are what they are. You know, I'll press play on, you know, doing the right thing and getting the right healing, getting the right deliverance, and, get through these tough days in my life. And, looking forward to, the right journey, in the process here, and, you know, being surrounded by people that are for me, that are, you know, not going to hurt you. They're not going to lie to you. They're going to be honest with you. They're going to give you your honest opinion, and they're going to love you. And they're going to support you through anything that you go through, and they're not going to judge you. They're going to speak into you in a great way. And that's what the summit does. So that's a little bit about me going through a bit of a challenging time. And just looking forward to the next great chapter of my life and the next good season in my life. And we'll continue to press play, as I like to say. And, you know, and we'll get back to hockey talk, because that's obviously what people are here for. And we got some great interviews coming up this week, a lot of positive things to be happy for. And we'll press play and look forward to great conversations and building those great relationships in the hockey world and inside the hockey community, and sharing the great stories that happen. And, you know, sometimes you got to address the tough things in life, and this is a platform that I can do that on. It is a platform, you know, that got created 5 years ago by something that I love to do. And if I got something to say, I will say it. And, you know, I'll open up a little bit about my life to help others to maybe, you know, reach out to us, because it has happened a lot of times of me pulling the curtain back and opening up. A lot of people have reached out, and I made a Facebook post about what I went through, and I had over 10 families reach out in a support of, unfortunately, they went through a tough time, and, you know, through that church, and they're on the right side of getting the right healing and deliverance. And, that's great to see. It's unfortunate that it had to happen, but it's great to see the great process of, you know, finding, walking into the right door of people inside the right room that will help you out. So that's really positive and loving to hear. Without me rambling on, everyone's here to hear Sunny talk, and Sunny's got a lot of great things to share. It's been a great journey here with Sunny, and we've always enjoyed our conversations with him. So let's get to our interview with Sunny Sakan right now. Mets fans, next guest is back with us. He's obviously been on our podcast several times before. He was just celebrated at the South Asian Night in Edmonton here. He was the first guy on the ice after Dampy Barr, so it was pretty sweet to see him. But we have Sunny Sakan from the Brick Tournament. Sunny, how's it going?
Going really good. How are you, Josh?
Good, good, good. I got to ask, how was that night and how was that moment? Because I was watching it in my living room and I was crying for you. So I don't know. I know you weren't crying, but maybe you were when the cameras were off. But must have been a pretty good night and celebrated in such a beautiful way.
Yeah. When I first found out, you know, this is a long process planning that. I was obviously on the committee putting it together. Never put my name forward for something like that, because there's some amazing community builders.
How did that come about, I guess? Yeah, you'll get into that now, obviously, but that came about throughout the process, I would assume.
Yeah, beginning of it is, like, one of the things the Oilers asked was for our group to submit some names of, like, prominent South Asian community builders, and so people in the game and people that are doing stuff in sport and elevating the city. So that was a tough task, and, you know, there was a bunch of us that were putting names forward, and there's some amazing work being done here. And so we gave that forward, and we're sitting around waiting, wanting to know who's going to be featured. There was four in-game features that people wouldn't have seen unless they're at the arena. And then obviously the honor guard. And, we kind of thought we knew what the honor guard was going to look like, because, we put forward kind of like a unanimous list. We were all strongly in favor of. Bean was on that list. Dampy's on that list. I won't reveal who the last person was, but it definitely wasn't me. Yeah. And we're sitting, it was about a week before the game, and we were on a call with the everyone from the Oilers side, and they kind of started to walk us through like the game day presentation, like how, like, so everyone knew what times they had to show up and stuff. And I'm like pretty OCD in these things, so I'm taking all these notes. And so they start reading out all the people, and I'm like writing these the names, and they go to the honor guard and they read out Dampy, and then they read out Bean, and then they say, and we want Sonny to go on the ice. And I'm just like head down, and there's another Sonny on the call who's also a very worthy guy to be there. So I like haven't really like
clued in,
clicked in yet. And then there's like a pause. So I look up and I'm like, obviously thrilled. My first reaction was just like kind of confused, because I'm like, I love the city and I feel like I've done some cool stuff, but there's people that I really look up to that I would have out there. But it was just like so surreal, right? And then I think anybody that's heard me on this pod or knows me in general knows I'm like the biggest Oilers fan. Like, you know, when they suck, I love them. When they're rocking, I love them. So to be part, like, I was just pumped to be part of planning this thing. I was so pumped to be working with them and so pumped to be like behind the scenes and seeing the logo come to life. Like truly it was like very surreal. And then so obviously when they said that, it was on another level. And then yeah, I'll never forget walking out. Like it was the coolest experience for sure. Like as a fan and as a fan of the game, just to be able to stand on the ice during the anthems and be on the ice with like a Draisaitl and a Nurse. And you know, I know a couple of the boys, so you get a couple of funny looks and some like winks and smiles. So it was unreal. And it was you know,
those guys must have been proud for you too, right? So the guys that
I hope so. It was proud or like surprised. I mean, like, you know, I don't toot my horn with those guys very often, but like, yeah, Darnell knew I was involved obviously with Free Play a lot. And but yeah, I mean, it was unreal. I'm not going to lie. It was super cool. And to share that moment with Bean and Dampy was awesome too. Obviously lots of battles with Dampy over the years, in ball hockey, and the stuff he's accomplished and is doing to grow the game is unreal. And Bean as well, right? Like Bean for the community and for her wheelie community, as she calls it. It was just a very special moment.
Yeah. Earlier in the day, I ended up connecting with Dampy at Meadows Rink, because the U15 AA's and the AAA's were playing in the Alberta Provincial Tournament. So he was there to support Harmon B's kid there. So obviously they're related there. So we actually had a good conversation, and really good. It was the first time meeting him, obviously seen him and known him before and seen him play ball hockey. I never played against him, but definitely seen him play a lot. So it was a good conversation. So very well educated guy, and very deserving for when he won the Willie O'Ree Community Hero Awards back in, I think it was 2020. So so obviously great things for him in that aspect. And, you know, great to see you guys all on there. And, you know, Sikander, I played ball hockey with, so he was a guy that was featured. And then obviously Arjun played ice hockey with him. He actually came up to one of our skates before. I might have played ball hockey against him at some point too, but just two great like people there, right? So
yeah, I feel like we played you when we were the Walruses. I don't remember what team, but
maybe Pretty Birds or something like that.
Yeah.
Might have been there. But yeah, just, you know, great people in the ball hockey community. And, you know, it was really nice to, you know, see that. I actually saw Sikander's, his acknowledgement on LinkedIn. So, you know, good to grow the game. You know, and it was nice that I work closely with the Calgary Flames. So it was nice to see them kind of honor that later on in the month too. So a little bit interesting. A lot of the press row was very surprised by the amount of boost the mayor got. So that was pretty loud for, and it long too, right? So I think we were all kind of surprised in the press box about that one. So, or not. Yeah, so
I don't know if I would have been surprised. Like, truthfully, like when we were having discussions about people that should be featured, how like the first name out of almost everyone's mouth was Amarjeet Sohi, right? Like, yeah. You know, this is a guy that's been a public servant forever. He was a counselor, then he was, you know, he was in Ottawa, and then now he's the mayor of the city. You know, Tim Opal's another guy who's been a prominent political figure for a long time from Edmonton. But, you know, we kind of, we approached it as a, like, first off, everybody knows those guys, right? Like, what, like, you know, rolling them out at an Oilers game, everyone there knows exactly who they are. You're not going to know anything about someone that's doing stuff quietly in the city. But, and then we also thought, like, you know, at the time, approval ratings were low. We're like, do we really want the first ever South Asian? Do we want to open up the door even a crack for one? Because all it takes is one guy that had too many beers that day to think he's being hilarious, and then it catches wind. And then, you know, in the heat of the moment, it's super hard, I think, for people to compartmentalize that, yes, he might be a politician and you might not agree with his policy, but he's also a South Asian that's done a lot for the South Asian community. And tonight he's here to be celebrated for that. Yeah. So I felt really bad for Mayor Jyoti Gondek, but like I wasn't really surprised, to be honest. And she's even less popular in Calgary right now than Amarjeet is. I had read that they were trying to like chase her out of office, I believe. So tough timing and a tough look, but
yeah, it definitely was. It caught me off guard because I did not be prepared, but I don't live in Calgary. You know, I just commute there to the games back and forth. So it's, you know, so I wasn't as up to date. And again, with politics, like kind of like Elliot Friedman says, like it's tough to get into all that debate at times. And
for sure,
you know, it's, you kind of got to stick in your lane. And if I don't know much about it, I don't feel comfortable talking about it and that. And I don't watch the news. I watch hockey and I listen to podcasts and, you know, and I go to hockey games. That's kind of my wheelhouse, but I thought it was great. You know, it was well deserved. I know it's been a long time coming. The logos for, I think, both organizations, the Flames, what they did with theirs, and the Oilers, what they did with theirs, were on point. They're beautiful. They're great. You know, I think the buildup leading up to the day, I think the night was amazing. So, you know, and it obviously capped off with a big win over the, I think they played Buffalo, right, that night too.
Yeah.
So that was just really good to see that. Anything more on that night that meant a lot to you? Like, you know, was it good to kind of connect with some of the people? Like, there's some people you never met before. That was great to meet too.
So Bean was the first person. That was the first time I met her. Obviously, I was very familiar with her work and her career and her accident. You know, for people that don't know, Bean was, she essentially got sick about a decade and a half ago. And the infection, she ended up paralyzed from the waist down. And so she's turned this absolute tragedy into like the most positive outlook and perspective. And like, even that night, she was joking about how she gets to be on the ice because of this. Like, and she's, you know, she started a clinic to work with other paralyzed people. And she's a champion for those with disabilities and etiquette. And yeah, so that was awesome. The biggest takeaway for me the night of was just like, I've spoken at length about how I think the Oilers have always kind of been leaders in like equity, diversity and inclusion, from like the rosters they've iced to the people that they have in different positions. But that night it just felt like it was like an arrival. Like, there were so many people from the community out, and you know, music. I never thought I would hear like Punjabi music or Hindi music being played there, and people just having fun with it. And and that was what was the best part, was just seeing that it wasn't just the South Asian community that was having fun. It was everybody was having fun. And so that was really all we wanted, is like, it wasn't the intention of the night is like, you know, you see the comments on social media, and no matter what you do and no matter how well you do it, you're going to get the person that's like, well, where's Christian night or Catholic night or Jewish night? And like, it's like, I get the point. I get the sentiment, but the night wasn't about like trying to like force feed my culture or your culture. It was about, there's a large population in Edmonton that loves the team and we just want to celebrate it. you yeah. know, and like you take, like, if you want to jump in and dance, great. If you want to order one of the food items, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you just want to sit here and watch the game and leave, no problem. It's just, it was really awesome. And it was just fun to be a part of. So I'm excited. I hope it happens. I'm confident it's happening again. I hope I get asked to help again. And it was amazing.
So where are you at? That's beautiful. Very beautiful. Obviously the part of the conversation leading into tonight and is obviously, and I've had this conversation with others in the past too, is there's such a big appetite because there's so many, you know, people from India and it covers a big part of the world. You know, we've seen Jujhar Khera and hopefully others and along the way that have been Ashdeep Bains with the Vancouver Canucks. You know, like just there's so many great great players, you know, that can, you know, play this game and then, you know, at the cost of it. And you've done some digging, Sonny. Can you kind of elaborate on all that's the research that you've done? You know, obviously we know hockey's not a cheap sport to play. So is there ways that we can bring those costs down, but where are we at here and how you think we could see more in the game? I know, you know, we work with Hockey Equality with, you know, Anthony Stewart and what he's doing out in Ontario and tapping into, you know, trying to get out west too, but where are you at with this and how we can grow the game in a great way in, you know, holding awareness, showing awareness and, you know, educating, but also seeing that maybe the numbers are dropping because, you know, the cost is high, or what data have you found here?
Yeah. Like, you know, lots of conversations with us and over the last couple of years, obviously with free play, how do we grow the game? What's the challenges? And the deeper dive I've taken, it's like almost a scary, but and harsh reality and realization. And it's when you start to peel back the layers, you start to really appreciate how like insignificant hockey is globally. Right. And that's the challenge. You know, I've heard lots of people talk about like, we need to look at what the NBA or the NFL, MLB, soccer are doing, but like, quite frankly, like you're not even equipped, like you're not even sitting at the same table. Right. When you look at like league revenues, the NHL last reported year was like $5.93 billion, which is exactly half of the next on the major four. MLB's at 10.32, NBA 10.5, and NFL's at 11.9. When you really look into the numbers, it gets pretty scary. Like there's not a single NHL team that's in the top 50 highest valued professional sports teams in the world. Yeah. Right. So the highest is Toronto at 2.65, and they don't even hit 50. You know, some of those NFL teams, I think it was Dallas is 9.9 billion. Putting it even further into crazy context is like the lowest value team was the Arizona Coyotes at 500 million. And you go into other sports and you got guys like Cristiano Ronaldo making 210 million a year. You got contracts like guys like Shohei Ohtani that are $700 million over the course of 10 years. Right. So this, like the comparison, I think you almost have to stop trying to follow, in my opinion,
yeah,
their playbooks. I think the one thing, yeah, they've done right is they've opened up like the NBA. How do they make leaps and bounds? Well, they unlocked China, they unlocked India, and now, or they're unlocking India now. And they made a big push to grow in non-traditional NBA markets. Hockey, it's not so simple. It's not so cut and dry, right? Like, you need ice, right? Like to play ice hockey and to become a fan of the NHL. Like, it's not like you can just pop down to Brazil and say, hey, let's build a bunch of ODRs. Now you can do ball hockey and hope that ball hockey then can translate into ice hockey, but you still need that infrastructure. So if ball hockey doesn't take off, it doesn't make any sense to put up a rink. And so why would someone then invest $20 million to put up a rink if you don't know that it's a certainty to get them in there? When you know for certain, if you put up another soccer facility or a basketball hoop, it's going to be packed. And so if you peel it back for a second, you actually just focus on so what I did is I pulled up the top 10, and this is off the IIHF. So the top 10 countries with the most registered players, I'll rattle off quick, will be no surprise. Canada, USA, Russia, Finland, Sweden, Czechia, Switzerland, Germany, France, Japan. Do any of those surprise you?
Yeah, no, they're what we've seen in international tournaments for many years, right? So,
but then what where it gets more interesting, and again, not surprising, is when you cross reference. So those 10, when you look at the average median income of a family in those countries, the lowest on that list is 36 with Russia, which isn't a surprise. But if you remove Russia, they're all top 20 median income countries in the world. So that also goes to start show, like, you look at the weather there, most of these places have the capacity to have an outdoor facility. They have some of the money to pay these things. But even that's not telling the whole, like, the whole story. So we take that. What I did next is globally, you know, there's 9 billion people on Earth, I think, now.
Yeah.
Registered right now, there's 1.5 million hockey players. 70% of that is in North America. So again, when we talk about growing the game, it's all good to want to unlock China and India because of the population. But really, I think, you know, there's an old mantra in business that if you just do a better job with the customers you have, your business will grow. And I think that's kind of where I'm at right now, is like, maybe if we focused on what's happening in our own backyard, we can grow the game and then have a better product to export. But that's the scary thing is, you know, so there's 1.5 million players playing hockey, registered hockey in the world. Basketball, there's 450 million. Soccer, there's almost 300 million. So like, it's, this is where it's like, where I don't know what, if I have the solution, I don't think I do, but I just, what I'm trying to say is like, we need to maybe reframe the, what the goal is, because when you start to look at how stark some of this is, it's crazy. And then even scarier is if you look now at, not in Canada, there's 513,000 registered hockey players right now. There is 551,000 in the US. So the US now has more hockey players than Canada.
Yeah.
There's 866,000 soccer players registered in Canada. So it is all signs are saying it's going the wrong way. So how do you fix it? You know, yeah, I think things like the South Asian celebration, Lunar History Month, Black History Month, Pride, these are all crucial in this day and age, because everyone has a right to feel like they belong everywhere, right? And I think that does a really good job of helping in the North America population. But when you are looking to export this globally, and I've said this before, the only way you're going to do it is to put your money where your mouth is. If you want to grow your revenues from 5.63 billion to 10 billion, you can do it by expanding again and again and again as they are, and taking a $1 billion franchise fee. Or you can do what like Tom Gilardi did with Dallas. And when he bought the Stars, the very first thing he did before anything was he renegotiated all the leases in the youth hockey centers to make hockey affordable, so that you're growing the next generation of fan. Like, it's expensive, man. Like, skates, like, you got to make it free. You got to find a way to make it accessible. Because the thing that soccer and basketball have over hockey is you just walk out anywhere and play. Right. So that's what I wanted to share, is like, I think all of these nights are awesome, and happy that they're happening, more so that people in Canada, in the US, feel like hockey is for them. And that will have effects for sure. But I think until you can figure out a solution to ice time, cost, and find a way to export this globally, you're not going to really grow.
Yeah.
And then if the next phase to that is, because obviously, yes, you can play street hockey and ball hockey, but if you don't have systems and programs in place that can take kids in Punjab, India, that are playing field hockey, street hockey, and inline hockey, and have a knack for shooting a ball with a stick, essentially, if you don't have a way for them to now get to the ice, it's not going to grow, because it's, quite frankly, it's not the same, right? Like, we've both played the highest levels of ball hockey, and it's not the same as ice hockey, right?
It isn't. Yeah. Yeah. As much as it's fun. Yeah. And I agree. Like, a lot of people, you know, maybe laugh at the skating abilities I have when it comes to ice hockey, but I, you know, my hands, and I just love this thing because Jason Spezza talked about it, you know, a great player that, you know, he said he got his hands, his soft hands from playing ball hockey, you know, it translated over to ice hockey. So, and you look at the career Jason Spezza had in the National Hockey League and look what he's doing now with the Pittsburgh Penguins as an assistant general manager. But, you know, but there's ways they got to grow it more. And I agree, like there's a lot of conversations I've had over the last several years. And Lolly's talked about this too, from APNA Hockey, is like, do you think maybe the break could change when we have a South Asian owner of a National Hockey League team, or where are you at with that? Like, is that something that could happen? Cause you talked about Tom Gilardi and what he did. You know, and he's a great businessman. I know he owns a lot of hotels and restaurants too, but you know, the owner of the Dallas Stars, but is there, if you could pick one thing to change it, obviously the cost would come down, but is there procedures in place that you think that can be put in sooner rather than later? So we could see the numbers increase for, you know, minorities, but also growing the game in the South Asian, like, because I think the NHL is getting better. I wish more teams did it. I know the LA Kings do it a lot and they promote this a lot. Now we're seeing it with the Oilers and Flames, and you know it's not going to be a one-time thing, but where are you at? I know a long-winded question, but
no, and there's good points in all of it. Like, I think, like, first, would a South Asian NHL owner change? I don't know. Like, there's a partial owner in Vegas that is South Asian, the Niger family. If they owned it exclusively, maybe. But then, I mean, there's South Asians that own other pro sports teams, right? Like, there's South Asian families that own teams in UEFA, in soccer. And that's been for the better part of a decade. And in India, who has 1.4 billion people, still can't qualify for FIFA, right? So by that logic, I don't know. I don't know if I buy it, right? Like, it's certainly not going to help. It's not going to hurt it. And maybe with the full, an owner that's fully South Asian, they would invest in more of these grassroots programs. But I think at the end of the day, I think the owners that see the long-term payoff, like Tom Gilardi did, in investing in grassroots hockey, sure, call it what it, like, you're growing your next generation of fans, right? Because if my son and your kids decide that they live, if they're in Texas, which is not hockey country, yeah, but they've decided that they like Jake or Ottinger and Heiskanen and they want to play hockey, guess what? That means mom and dad are going to be fans now by osmosis, but it takes that long-term investment. That's more where I think it has to happen. Yeah, I don't know. I think Vegas, I think it was yesterday, they announced that with the Hockey Impact Fund, that they're building a ball hockey like facility outdoors in Vegas, that they're going to staff, I think, 5 times a year with players for, I think, 3 or 4 years. I think things like that will have an impact, because in Vegas, you know, there probably only is a handful of hockey rinks. And so having something like that where you just show up and you need a stick and runners, and you get to meet a pro, they then have the infrastructure in place that if you are showing that you're an exceptional ball hockey player, but you want to try, you have that pathway. I think the Oilers are on the right track with EKDS, which is Every Kid Deserves a Shot. Yeah. They are actively looking at ways to get sticks in hands of kids in oil country, right? So whether that's ball hockey, inline hockey, and then eventually get them onto the ice. But again, it's just that cost, right? Like, there's no way around it. Like, I have another, there's 8,193 indoor hockey rinks in the world, right?
Yeah.
It's not a lot. So when you consider that there's 8 billion people, so you already know that they're expensive to build, they're expensive to maintain. And even in a city of like Edmonton, where there's tons and tons of facilities, there's not enough in certain hubs. So it's just so expensive, right? And to me, unless you find a way to really, really reduce that cost, that's what's going to drag. That's what's going to limit the popularity. It's, you know, the game has its other problems. As you mentioned, we need right now, you need things like Up in Hockey. You need things like HGA. You need things like
AZ, Pride Tape. Yeah. AZ1 Hockey, right? So
because yeah. You need him right now because it doesn't feel safe for everyone. Eventually, I would love to see those things go away, but I don't, you know, I don't see it happening until more and more and more people join. Yeah. And I still think the biggest barrier is just how expensive it is.
Yeah. It does seem that's the situation. Like there's a guy I work with, and we were talking about it at work the other day. Like he came over to this country, and you know, his kid, that's what his kid wanted to play, and he didn't know the cost. And then he's just like, oh, that's the cost. Yeah. Well, here's a soccer ball instead. Right. It's, you know, so he's still playing sports, but not playing the sport his son really wanted to play. You know, he can play ball hockey, like you say. It's, you know, it's a runner's, a stick, and, you know, obviously a pair of gloves, you know, and that. So obviously, hopefully the situation gets better in that. And, you know, with the economy going up and everything going up, there might not be a lot of hope that changes, but we'll see where it goes from there. Is there anything else you want to touch on that topic before we move on to some NHL stuff and some CHL stuff, Sonny?
No, I think just all those owners and coaches and people that, you know, they gotta find ways to help us lower the costs so that more kids are playing. But yeah, I know. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Well, let's move over to some CHL stuff. And a kid that you saw very close up in front at the Brick Tournament, and that's Landon Dupont. Got the exceptional status, first defenseman in the CHL or WHL, and second player in the WHL to do that. So he's the first defenseman, but also the second player. Obviously, Connor Bernard in 2020 was the first player in the WHL, the ninth player in total, you know, to get exceptional status. You know, he has around 60 some points and 30 some games over in Calgary for the Edge program there. But, you know, a great day yesterday for him. You know, a great day. His dad was a defenseman in the NHL, played about 20 games. You know, a great player too. The fact that you can just play even one game in the National Hockey League says how great you are. It doesn't matter how many more games you play after that. But, you know, Landon, you saw up and close and personal at the Brick Tournament. And obviously the pedigree that this kid has. You know, I know Brody McIntyre and Trevor Ruptash speak very highly of him too, and think highly of him. And, you know, he's going to be a great kid for what any organization in the WHL gets him. But your thoughts on this historic day?
Yeah, it was anytime we get a cool alumni story, we love it. Yeah, so Bedard was the first WHL exceptional. He was a Brick alumni. And then so that, you know, we love stories like that. And then to see yesterday Bedard send the message to DuPont, it was great. I'm going to say I'm not all that surprised. When he rolled into the tournament, there was a story about him before he got there, regardless of the play, because his dad, it was the first time we know of where, so Mickey DuPont played in the Brick Tournament, you know, however many years, 15, 16 years ago, obviously went on and had his pro career. And then, so that's the first time where it's a father son both played in the Brick Tournament. So that was like the storyline leading up to it. So we were super pumped about that. And then you saw this kid play, and he was unbelievable. Like he was
the back being there. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
And I think he had a couple like overtime winners, and it's just, you know, I just find myself laughing because they're little kids, and he's, I think one of them, it was just like a one timer, and it's like bar down, and you know, it's, I'm trying to remember it. I think I was like 16 by the, like before I could do that. And just the way the guy skated and read the play. And, you know, obviously there's names you try and keep in contact with. And through you guys, I've been lucky to hear the stories of Ruptash, McIntyre and DuPont. Yeah. But yeah, he's going to be unreal. I read his interview, and it was funny. Like you can see, you hear the youth, because he was talking about, oh, I thought I kind of wanted to be a forward, but you know, my dad played D, so I felt like maybe I was destined to be a D man. Like, yeah. But no, I'm excited. It'll be, do you know,
he'll be eligible for the draft. I think in May is what Darren Dreger said. So, it's the Bantam draft, I would believe, right?
Yeah, that's what I want to figure out. Is like, is I mean, he's eligible, but like, is he going to go? Is he a first overall pick? Like, I'm not.
A lot of things, yeah. And that was the thing is, obviously, on Dregs, the Ray and Dregs podcast today, like Ray Ferraro was pretty much saying, like, does his family pick where he goes? I guess, right? Like, what? Like, does that play a factor? You know, does the team have to trade, or how much does the family, you know, play into that of where he goes? But yeah, I would assume you probably go first overall, but you know, there are some pretty good kids in that Bantam draft too. So obviously it's exceptional status. Does that, you know, how all that works out, we'll see. But it's a good crop of kids. I know, you know, Ozzie McIntyre and Luke Ruptash are, you know, in that category too, in terms of, you know, this is a big year for them and getting drafted in there too. But it'll be fun to watch. He'll be a great player to watch. The debate is, how is he going to take it when that 19-year-old forward comes down crushing on him when he's 15 years old? How does he take that? Because, you know, that's going to happen, you know. And, sure. You know, it's just how he embraces that and hopefully doesn't get hurt. But it's hockey, so we'll see how that happens. Are you intrigued to see the matchups that he's going to have?
Yeah, I think like 10 years ago I'd be more scared for him. But like, I watched like his highlight clips and like, I think hitting him is a lot easier said than done, right? Like, the guy moves like, you know, he's not Makar or Hughes yet, but like, that's who he likens his game to. And he certainly skates like them, right? And the potential for a bigger guy to get him is certainly there, but I think he'll probably be fine. And he's, you know, even at the Brick tournament, he's always played with older kids, but you know, at 15, when you're playing with, you can play with 20 and 21 year olds, right? Like the overages, that's literally men with boys, right? So it'll separate the lions from the mice. That's for sure.
It definitely will. Let's move over to our Oilers report. Sponsored by friends at Shatified Salon or Barbershop. I got to go get cleaned up there this week. So hopefully I get in. I went today. It was a zoo there today. So I was like, I'll come back another day. But yeah, Shatty and his team do a good job there. They stay very busy. So had a few things come up too. So I was like, I got to go take care of a few errands. But great team at Shatified Salon and Barbershop, and they are the official barber of the Edmonton Oilers as well too. You know, McDavid's out day to day. Doesn't sound serious. He didn't play the last 5 minutes of the game against Calgary in Calgary. Looks like he's nursing some kind of injury, a new injury, but I don't think it'll be anything crazy. But where are you at with the Oilers play here, and who do you see them or want to see them match up in the first round of the playoffs? Like, are you worried about Vegas? Because there's already reports coming out that Stone's going to be ready for game one. So, and Thomas Hertl just returned last night. So, you know, the uproar will be pretty loud if you do see Mark Stone on the ice for game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I would assume, like it was last year. But that's just the way the CBA works, and they're benefiting from it. But would you rather play the LA Kings, or it doesn't really matter? You just play the best and then hope for the best kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to win a cup, you got to beat those teams anyways, right? Like, I don't know, like, would I like to see Nashville? Like, maybe, like, Leon typically feasts on them, but Nashville's also, like, been a different team the last back half of the year, right? Like, you can't walk into the playoffs and know that you've been, like, you know, 10 games above 500 against a franchise over 3 years and expect anything in the playoffs. I don't love the LA matchup because, you know, this is the third year in a row. I feel like they will do anything in their power to win that series. And so will Edmonton. I don't love Vegas either. And I know they're not breaking any rules, but it is incredibly frustrating when, you know, the same thing seems to happen every year with a franchise. They find ways to play within the rules, but you know, are they though? This was the first time, this was the first year I felt there was such an outcry from like the media and even like Biz and Witt were like, this is bullshit. Like, they typically don't care.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you fix that. And
22.5 million over the cap right now, right? So,
which is insane, right? And yeah, I think either way, either series is going to be super tough. But I mean, I'm also confident in their. I liked that they got smacked around by Dallas. Like, I never like seeing them lose, but you know, that's a team that's playing to their record and that's a contender, and we're supposed to be, and they just got slapped around. And you know, the way Ekholm's been playing, the way Skinner's been playing, Kane kind of starting to heat up, Brown, you know, heating up a little bit. I like the Holloway call up. But again, it's the playoffs. We could be out in the first round against LA. You could be out in the first round against Vegas. You could, yeah. I don't know, Josh. That's I'm standing on the fence with it. I don't know which one I would rather play, but
yeah, LA seems different than the last couple of years. Like, obviously, 2 years ago they took Oilers to Game 7 and they didn't have Drew Doughty or Victor Arvidsson. You know, following year, I'm not a big, you know, like, it's tough to say because I'm the guy that will. I'll argue it to a point when someone says, oh, okay, look at this guy and he's in a National Hockey League. Like, but Jonas Korpisalo, like, he had a rough go. The Oilers got to him later in that series. Now, you got two goaltenders that the Oilers would know very well in playing against, and one that was in their organization in Cam Talbot, and David, and obviously both Rittich and Cam Talbot played for the Calgary Flames, but the Oilers had, you know, Rittich's number for a number of years after that kind of whatever shootout play that Drysdale had that he saved and all that. So you do have a recipe there, but just something about, and I respect Todd McLellan as a coach. I know he's gone now, but he was never able to get his team to that next hump. He did a really good job in San Jose for many years and being great regular season teams, and then just couldn't get him over the hump in the Stanley Cup playoffs to getting a cup or winning a Stanley Cup in San Jose. I don't think they ever got to a Stanley Cup final with them. I think it was a conference final as far as they got. They did go to a Stanley Cup final, but that was with Pete DeBoer. You know, so I don't know. It's tough to say, because I think if the Olympics would start today, your friend and Skinner would be the starting goaltender for Team Canada. So I definitely think, you know, the Oilers, I'm not too worried about the goaltending position. Maybe it's more way things work out on the back end. I would like to see Troy Stetcher play some more games. He was really good for the Calgary Flames down the stretch last year when he was there, and he's always been good in Arizona these last 2 years. I know he started there both seasons and was traded. So, you know, he's got some pedigree there too. I know he's a smaller defenseman, but he can play. So we'll see what happens. Like, you're right. Anything could happen. I think, you know, some of these teams are going to go into the playoffs. The regular season is going to be done, and 10 days after the playoffs, they're going to be eliminated. And we're going to be like, well, what just happened? You know,
sure.
Like, you waste, you know, you're not only really wasted, but you invested all this time into the season. And then these teams just have this, you know, you just played two good teams, and now you could pick the playoff format. Isn't really what it should be, or is it? But, you know, I think I'll go on this with Jeff Merrick. I love round one because you get the best of the best right off the top, and these teams aren't beat up. Now, these are Stanley Cup finals in the first round. You know, would you rather have that in the first round or in the third round, where some of the teams are beat up by the time they get to the third round? So that usually is Stanley Cup, the first round is the best, and it's the funnest for sure in that aspect. But, you know, I look at Dallas. I don't really see the Oilers beating Dallas in a 7-game series if they were to get that far. But if they get that far, that means they would have gotten to a conference final. You know, mm-hmm. You could open a repeat performance like you did a couple years ago against Colorado where you got swept. But, you know, you definitely feel like it's cup or bust, because if you get eliminated in the first round, all summer from that point forward up till July 1st, the biggest conversation in this city is going to be, is Leon Draisaitl going to resign? He has the 1 year left in his deal. Does he play that year out like a kind of like a William Nylander situation where maybe he resigns halfway through the year, or does he sign July 1st, or does he wait? Who knows? You know, like a first round exit could be very disappointing, knowing that, you know, the thing is, like, and I'm a big Bob Stauffer guy. Like, I think highly of Bob Stauffer, and I'll tell this to Bob, and I've told this to Bob before. One thing I don't like is a lot of the since this or since that. Like, I'm not really a big fan of, like, since this date, this team, the Oilers are the best at this, or since this date, this player is the best at this. I'm all about a full season, 82 games, consistency all the way through. Now, the Oilers pretty much have been a really good team most of the year. I agree with that. November 13th was the shift when they fired Jay Woodcroft and Chris Knobloch's come in. I'll give Chris Knobloch his credit, but I do think playoffs are a different animal, not only for the players, but for the coaches, because there's so many different mind games that go on. There's so many different things that go on. You're in a full series. There's so much adjustment, and it's easier to make adjustments in a series than it is when it's a one game, you know, just you're playing a 60 minute game. And, you know, Jim Hiller is finally getting his opportunity in LA, and we've seen what Bruce Cassidy can do in Vegas and winning a Stanley Cup. And I don't know if Edmonton wants any part of the Vegas Golden Knights, especially if they get Stone back and get all their players back. And William Carrier is another great player for them. He's one of the misfits, and he's hurt, but if he can come back healthy, you know, there's some good guys there too. Waugh's hurt. If he gets back, you know, Pietrangelo has the flu, so we'll see if he gets back into the lineup. But a lot there. I don't know. There's so much to chew on, right? And it's, yeah. And it's
go ahead, Sonny. Yeah, I know I rambled.
No. The one thing though, like I loved Woodcroft. I loved Manson, and they did a great job. You know, a conference final, and then, you know, the start of this year, how it went. But the one thing, I always felt like they were slow to react, right? Like, the only thing that they would go to is, like, load up Leon and Connor. But the other micro adjustments, like maybe changing the structure, changing this, it didn't ever really seem to happen until it was too late. Mm-hmm. And you go back to, like, that Vegas series last year. It's like they went to that zone defense, got their frickin', like, teeth pushed in. Like, why not change back, like, quickly? And that's one thing that I feel like Knobloch and Coffey are much more aggressive in changing. Like, never, like, they don't want to lose a close game to Calgary like this past weekend, never mind a series. So I feel like, and I'm not saying that I think one is a better coach than the other, it's just one person's style is, and it's not a panic button, it's they're going to change and they're going to try things differently a little bit quicker. But even with that, like, they're all so well coached. Yeah, at the end of the day, it's, I think the Oilers have the horses to do it. I think, again, I like, someone told me the other day that, or maybe it was a tweet, that Ekholm's playing is close to Chris Pronger, or like as dominant a defenseman as the Oilers have had since Chris Pronger when we went on that cup run. And,
yeah,
you know, I don't know if he's in the same category yet. But if a guy, if he can play like that with Bush and everybody else on the D-core can elevate, you know, I don't dislike our chances. But again, it's, you're running into a team that, you're running into a $135 million team that's coached by one of the top coaches in the league. I personally think LA is a weaker team on paper this year than last. Like, everyone got so excited for them to get Dubois, and I think Dubois got all the tools to be good, but I don't know. I think if Byfield hadn't taken the step forward that he did, I don't even think the Kings are a playoff team, so.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It's always going to be fun. It's always going to be interesting to watch. We'll see what they do. You know, they've been coming on a little bit late. They started off really good, but, I think one of the most intriguing things to watch is this Evander Kane stuff. Personally, Evander Kane and I have had some disagreements. I posted some stuff on, posted what I thought and some of the things that I've been told, said some things on this podcast. Evander Kane has reached out to us through Twitter. So it was kind of interesting to see, and, you know, did not like some of the things we said, didn't like what was said on Spit and Chicklets and other platforms. And, three times this year, twice with Draisaitl and now one with Kane about the beef on the bench. Now, most people, I'll go to the players that played in the NHL.
Guys like Ray Ferraro and others, and you know, they just say it's part of the game, just like it would be a part of the game for us in our ball hockey days where we got a disagreement. So I'll concede to them because they're the guys that play the game at that level too. And I do agree that, you know, you could have disagreements on the bench. But just something there, you know, the Oilers will go far if Evander Kane is the Evander Kane when he was with the Oilers, you know, a couple of years back when, you know, look at what he did in that series against Calgary and when he can be on his game. But also look at it too, when they played Colorado, you know, he knocked Nazem Kadri out of the game. He got suspended. And, you know, it's some of the, it's the dumb penalties. It's the turnovers. Those can kill you in a playoff series. Right. And we know special teams plays a big factor. So, you know, I think a lot of us probably doubted Paul Coffey. We're like, you know, he really didn't want to go behind the bench. How's that going to work? We've seen some great players go behind the bench and it hasn't really worked out, but we've also seen some great players go behind the bench and it has worked out. And obviously you could see what he's done with that decor has been amazing. And I just go back to a couple months ago. It was the third installment of the Battle of Alberta, February 24th. I was at that morning skate. They played Minnesota the night before. And Paul Hall Coffey, like, they literally played the night before. All those defensemen played the next night at the morning skate, or the next day at the morning skate. All those defensemen were out. And they are working with Paul Coffey on a back-to-back, and you're getting ready to play your provincial rival later that night. And those guys got on the ice and got ready and worked on some things with Paul Coffey. That said to me, things are taking a charge. And yeah, they played their worst game of the year, but they also followed up their best game of the year against Colorado. And the game was changed on that McDavid back check where he took the puck away from McKinnon. Like right then and there, you knew the Oilers were winning that game that night against Colorado. Now Colorado was on a back-to-back too. They played in Minnesota prior that, you know, the night before. So they caught him at the right time. But at the end of the day, you know, these are all professional athletes. Every single one of them that get on the ice and put the lace on skates up, you're doing a good job to make sure you don't get embarrassed that night. And the Oilers went out and they handed a beating to Colorado. So kind of, you know, set the tone because a lot of those matchups were one goal games in overtime. And so the Oilers can go, they can go far. And I think the bigger conversation is maybe we just don't give these Canadian teams enough credit because that's the stigma of 30 plus years of not winning a Stanley Cup. So maybe we just conceive to being like, okay, well, they're just not going to do it because they haven't done it for so long. So maybe we just don't give any of them enough credit. But, you know, these, the four that are making it to the playoffs this year, each one of them have a case to go far, you know, so regardless of what happens. But it's going to be goaltending at the end of the day that's going to take you, and then it's special teams after. And Toronto's biggest kryptonite for the last 8 years in the playoffs, 9 years, 7 years in the playoffs, their power play has been horrendous in the playoffs, and their goaltending hasn't really kept them up to it. You know, when you keep going down to your third and fourth string goaltender in playoff series, that's not a good thing. So it's not. Now the Leafs have, you know, three goaltenders that have played 20 plus games this year. And then there's the Matt Murray that's going to return this week, but he hasn't played all year. So he's probably going to get a conditioning stint. But, you know, you got Martin Jones has got one Stanley Cup, and you got Matt Murray who's got two with Toronto. But the Oilers, it's tough to count them out too. Like they have the forces, they have the power. But the one thing I think we keep hearing is there's no consistent lines. What lines are you going with in the playoffs? There's no like, hey, this is this line, this is this line, this is this line. So we'll see what happens, how that goes into it, right?
For sure. And Vancouver, like, if I think Vancouver is going to go as far as Demko, and he's still out and coming back. And, you know, Winnipeg is like a sleeper to me too, right? Like they got kind of that perfect balance. Hellebuck can probably steal a series. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. Yeah. I don't know. The only thing I would touch on that is like Kane plays that game where he walks that line, right? And it's a very thin line, overdoing it, like going certainly in the playoffs. I think some of the stuff he got called for isn't called for. But I don't know. I love the intensity. 5 years ago, I don't think that the room – and this, I don't want to sound like I'm being critical of like the leadership squad, but I don't know if 5 years ago they were equipped to handle someone like Evander Kane. But, you know, now, you know, a Connor or a Leon, if they had to, would tell him where to go. And then you look at who else is in the room. Like, you've got Nurse and you got Ekholm, you got Perry. You know, you'll have, I'm assuming they'll have Gagne up. Like, you've got veterans that ultimately just want to win that I think will rein in any of that stuff. But I don't know. I saw an F1 thing today about, and it's old, but it was a clip about Lewis Hamilton called Verstappen a dickhead. And I'm sure a lot gets said on those things because the everyone can hear the radio broadcast.
Yep.
And Sebastian Vettel comes to his defense and it's just like, what do you think that, like, we're driving 300 miles an hour, you get cut off, you think we're going to say like just the nicest things? Like, in the heat of the moment in the sport, it's like, you guys are trying to make it into a bigger story than we are. We've already moved on. And I feel like that's probably what happened with those two.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I mean, I don't know Perry. I don't know Kane either, but like, I think we all know the reputations around him. And like, that's one of those brick wall, immovable object, meeting an unstoppable force, right? Like, no one's going to win that argument. I'd love to listen to it.
Yeah. And I agree with that because, like, the way I look at it is, like, I bet you at some point this year, you know, it's not like Perry's been with the team all year, but at some point you would have felt like, you know, Connor and Leon would have said, okay, you've won the cups, you've won everything in your career, Perry, but you, for us to win, we need that guy to be a force. You got to help us get him to where he's going to get to. And you could tell there's some great bond, like some of the interviews they talk, like you could tell Corey Perry and Kane like each other. Like, obviously I'm not saying that they would hate each other, but you want the best out of the player. Right. And I think that's, like, we all know that either Kane's going to help the team or he's going to hurt the team. Now, if they get eliminated in the first round, that's not all on him, you know, depending on if he costs the team in a really bad way, where he gets caught with a 5-minute major or something like that. And, you know, that changes the series, because we've seen stuff like that happen, but, you know, it's walking that fine line. But yeah, at the end of the day, my thing is, Vander Kane is the modern era of Days of Our Lives. It's always an interesting story with him. There's always something going on. Even his interview on Monday with Ryan Rashog and Reed Wilkins, you know, it's, you guys got to start writing me a check for writing things about me. It's like, okay, well, you're the one that does that. You create your own story in my mind. Like, the media, yes, brings it up, but they're not going to bring up things that they don't need to bring up. And I think the best interview at the end of the game on Saturday was Derek Ryan in a positive light of being like putting Mark Spector in his place in a way of, you know, being like, you know, like that penalty we drew as a fourth line got us the power play that also won us the game. And it's just things like that. Like, you don't have to be a fourth line guy that scores 20 goals every night. It helps, but there's also smaller things that the fourth line guys do that help the team that maybe the media doesn't see. And, you know, I think most media members here are pretty educated for the most part. Maybe some aren't, but, you know, I think all fans can understand which ones, you know, probably the players like and players don't like.
Yeah. I've loved Derek Ryan's I love that one. He's that guy's a future coach for sure.
Yeah.
The one earlier in the year, like, and I don't know if he was pushing back at Spector. I would bet on it.
Yeah.
But, He basically went right at him being like, yeah, like he's a hell of a, like McLeod's a hell of a player. He's going to score, like, you know, and now imagine being Ryan McLeod and being young and having to read the stuff you're writing about him and then him playing through and proving you wrong. I was just like, good for this guy. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm in a minority in it, but I actually like that about Kane. I like Kane's interviews. I like that he's different. I like that he can kind of be a bit of not arrogant, but like he gives a different interview than 9 out of 10 guys. And I think that's good for the league. But again, it's just that it's like anything. It's that when you walk that fine line, you got to make sure that, like, you know, if it's one thing to piss off, you know, you or someone in the media, but like you just don't want to piss off his team. And I don't think that he has, but I get a crack out of a lot of his interviews. I think he's hilarious.
And he's his own person at the end of the day, right? He's going to beat to his own drum. And, you know, he lives in a different area that all the other players live in. Like, he's kind of his own little guy. He's his own guy. He's obviously a family guy. And you know, I know he doesn't hang out with most of the players when he's here. You know, he's with his family and he's got a couple friends he hangs out with on the road. He has a certain group that he hangs out with. you know, and these are from people that are really close to him. That's why I could say this, but you know, I don't hate the guy or anything like that, but I've had some good conversations. You know, we first went at each other and we had a good conversation. And then recently it kind of was like, let's go back at each other again. And, you know, so, but the pressure's on, you know, he was not playing up to his par, and now he's going to find his game here. You would hope, right? He got the two goals tonight, and that's just following that path. But we'll see what happens. You know, these are the guys that play. We sit here and we report, we talk. That's kind of what we do. And we watch them perform on the ice, and, you know, it'll be a fun playoffs. And, you know, it would be disappointing if they get eliminated in the first round, but, you know, we'll see what happens. It would be an injustice, as I said, because, you know, I love to see the best players playing at the best time of the year. And you hope it's a long playoff run. We know what Connor and Leon can do in the playoffs. These guys rip it apart. So, you know, they're hard to stop, and we'll see what is ahead of them. Right. So, and you've seen teams win with the Andre Vasilevskis, but you also seen the teams not win with the Andre Vasilevski too. So it goes both ways, right? You could have that Carey Price Vasilevski that can get you there, but you can also see the Aiden Hills that get you there and win a Stanley Cup, or the Darcy Kempers and others like that too, right? So, let's finish up on that. Really good hour here. We got a busy week at the 2 Months podcast, so looking forward to more of the guests that we have. But Sonny, I really appreciate the time and the education and understanding things a little bit better at the start there, and hopefully this game can grow in a great way, the way you and I love it, that they can love, others can love it the same way. So thanks for the great words that you said, and thanks for continuing to shine the light on the game in a very positive way. All the best to you.
Likewise, my man. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.